So I'll be laying a foundation for our teaching in this conference. Glory to God forevermore. You see, in Christ Discipleship Camp Meeting, it's a disciples conference. Glory to God. We are attending as disciples. Is it clear? That means there's a place to start from, right? Right? There's a foundation already. Glory to God. I say glory to God. There's a foundation already. Amen. So are we ready for God's word tonight? Glory to God. Here tonight. To change. Amen. God's fire is also here to heal. Amen. I'm saying this because you must know what is available. You must know what's available. Hallelujah. See, I know what is available. In a meeting like this, there's so much available. Glory to God. I say, glory to God. So are we ready for God's word? Amen. Let's bow and say, our Father, say in the name of your Son Jesus Christ, we receive revelation by your Spirit. Say, we ask that tonight, in this committee, tomorrow morning, in the afternoon, through Saturday, through Sunday, it will be moments of revelation. All that needs to be said will be said. All that needs to be heard will be heard. See, there will be precision, there will be accuracy, there will be diversities of the things of the Spirit. See, in the Word and in the move of the Spirit, we will receive impartations, direction, revelation by the Spirit of God. See, our hearts will be nourished up with the Word of faith. Our hearts will be ignited as light shines upon our eyes. Say, every question will be answered. Say, there's no error. Say, just as there's no error, just as there's no error in the teaching, there'll be no error in my understanding. I'll see Jesus and I'll see myself as He sees me in Him. Say, I'll be edified and your name will be glorified in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel is our text for this meeting. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you there? Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Matthew 28. He says in 18, and Jesus came and said unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Now, quickly, because I have a brief walk tonight, tomorrow morning session, we're going to take time to teach. Hallelujah. We're going to take time to teach. And then also, in the evening, we're going to teach. Glory to God forevermore. And much of God's plans is unveiled in teaching. Amen. So, quickly, in 18, Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, obviously, we said the word teach there is a word that is translated as the word to make disciples. Hallelujah. The word teach there is a word that is translated as making disciples. Interestingly, we'll be looking at that also in our church services, right? Right. In 18. It is all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Glory to God forevermore. So look at this. God's plan is for all nations. One of the things that you must see in this conference is to see His plan for what? All nations. It is all nations. It is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Are we together? Now, quickly, we've said at different times that when you're reading the words of Jesus, you're with God. You know, Matthew 28 is our text for this coming. And I've been teaching from Matthew 28 for the past 4 years in this committee. So we'll continue. Now, if you're reading the words of Jesus, like we just read in Matthew 28, a very good thing to note is that the words of Jesus are actually expositions of the scriptures. The words of Jesus are explanations of the Old Testament text. Are we there? If you're reading the words of Jesus, you are actually reading Jesus' explanation. I think I want to calm down a little bit. I think the media team should do a work on volume. Amen. Are we together? The speakers are close to you, so you might not know what's going on here. We need volume. Praise God. So quickly, when we read the word, we there, we are actually reading, amen. Are you with me? We are reading Jesus' explanation of the whole. I told you severally that Jesus is a teacher. Right? Jesus doesn't teach from the day's politics. If he has to explain on faith, amen, he speaks from the scriptures. Jesus is a disciplined teacher. He restricts himself into what is written in the scriptures. Are we together? Just like other teachers, like Paul always taught from the Old Testament. Are we together? Which other teacher did we have in the Bible? Peter. He taught from the Old Testament. Amen. To have the various writers, he also wrote from the Old Testament books. So the background, whatever we read in the four Gospels, is actually the Old Testament books. Are we together? Are we together? Now, don't worry. Tomorrow, I'll take more time to explain on this. We see Stephen in Acts 8. Are we together? Stephen will go to the Sanhedrin, or the teachers, the Pharisees, and taught from Acts chapter 7, we're all from the Old Testament books. You can read it. We look at Philip also in Acts 8. Now, Philip went to Samaria from verse 1. The Bible says, and risen in the church, and many people had scattered about. So, Philip had gone to Samaria and he had preached the gospel to them. So that by verse 5, he had preached Christ unto them and he worked miracles also. Philip had cast out devils. Philip had healed the sick. Are we together? In Samaria. Now, if you read Acts 8, the earlier part of Acts 8, you might not really know how Philip taught. But by the time, or rather, of Acts chapter 8, you will see with the Ethiopian Enoch. Are we together? Now, the Bible said, by the time the Spirit of God led him, he says, join yourself to this chariot. So by the time he joined the chariot where the eunuch was, he found the eunuch from Isaiah, particularly Isaiah chapter 53. Are we together? The eunuch was reading concerning, the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen? Or the prophet Isaiah concerning the sufferings of a particular man. So Philip went and he asked him, he says, understandest thou what thou readest? And then the Bible said, the Ethiopian Enoch said, how will I understand except some explain to me? Is it clear? Then he says, this man I'm reading about, is he talking about himself or is he talking about himself? Then the Bible said, and Philip, beginning from that scripture, preached Christ unto him.
Now, where did the Enoch read from? He was reading from Isaiah. Are we together? So for Philip to have taught him about Christ, Philip must have explained from the book of what? Isaiah. Are we together? Are we together? So we see, just like Stephen, we see Philip. Then we see Paul. Amen. Then who else do we see in the New Testament books? We see Peter. I said before, Peter. They all taught from Old Testament books. Are we together, church? Now, I have a very fast work to do tonight. So look at something. Look at what Matthew also does. Matthew does this. For example, in Matthew chapter 1, quickly. I'll be very fast. I'm telling you that. Beware, I'll be fast. In Matthew 1, if you look at verse 21, he says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Glory to God. Now look at 22. He says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord." He says, spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is what? God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not. She brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name what? Jesus. Are we together? Now, I want you to focus on verse 21 and 22. In 21, he says, "She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He says in 22, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child." This, without, you know, is speaking from Isaiah. Are we together? So the prophet is quoting or referencing the Isaiah text. Isaiah. Now, who is Isaiah? Isaiah is a prophet of the Old Testament. Is it clear? Now, very importantly, was that Isaiah was not sitting down talking to them at that time. So when he says, this is according to what was spoken by the prophet, that means they were referring to his books. Is it clear? Instead of a life teaching by Isaiah, they were reading from the book of Isaiah. Are we together? I hope that is clear. Look at quickly. I want you to observe the trend. And then in verse 15, he says, in verse 14, "When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And was there until the death of Herod." Can we take it together? Next statement. Want to go? "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken of God by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I what? Called my son." Are we together? Now, I'll show you tomorrow, but just for reference sake, this text was taken both here. Now, if he says, "out of Egypt I have called my son," your mind will go back to Exodus. Are we together? How God brought Israel out of Egypt. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to show you that Israel was actually the one God referred to as my son. Is it clear? Is it clear? Show you that tomorrow morning. But again, we see the writer of Matthew is referencing the Old Testament books again. Hosea is a prophet in the Old Testament. In verse 23, he says, "And he came and dwelt," this is Jesus now, "in Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene." Okay, when he says spoken by the prophet, are we together? That again will refer to the Old Testament books. In Matthew chapter 4, and then in verse 14, he says that it might be fulfilled. What is the background? In verse 12. "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali." Now look at 14. "That it which was spoken the prophet." Again, he's teaching from what? Matthew is pointing us to what? To the whole Testament. Are we together? Observe something, that Matthew is talking about Jesus, but he points us to what? The whole Testament. That already shows us something. Matthew is talking about Jesus, and then he goes into the Old Testament books. That already shows us something. In Matthew chapter 8, quickly, and then in verse 17, Matthew 8:17. If you look at verse 15, He says, well, verse 14, and when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Matthew chapter 8, verse 15 now. And he touched her, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many. Someone say many. Someone say many. He says, many that were possessed of devils. And he cast out the spirit with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Glory to God. Look at 17, everyone. Be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah again. Glory to God. I think there's something about Matthew and Isaiah. They like each other. He says that it must be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Look at what? Infirmities and bear our sicknesses. Glory to God. Now, obviously, that is Isaiah 53. If you're familiar with Isaiah, are we together? Isaiah 53. So we'll see that again. Look at Matthew 12. Matthew 12. And then in verse 15. Or I'll start from verse 13. Matthew 12. Then said he to the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched forth it, and he was restored. Oh, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how the man. And when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from death, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled by Isaiah the prophet. So Matthew keeps pointing to the book of Isaiah and some other portions of the Old Testament books when he talks about Jesus. He says, what was said about Isaiah? Verse 18, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. That is Isaiah 42. Are we together? From verse 1. Are we there? Matthew 13, quickly. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. He in verse 35. Matthew 13, verse 35. He says, if you 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto living which a woman took and hid in it 3 measures of meal till the whole was living. 34. And all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Again, this is both Psalms and Isaiah being referenced. Is it clear? Now, I'll show you more text tomorrow. Is it clear now? Now, look at this. You will observe, like I said, Matthew is talking about Jesus. He goes into the Old Testament. And look at what he kept on saying. He kept on saying that it might be fulfilled. So, Jesus says something. Matthew says, he said it, that what Isaiah said might be fulfilled. Jesus does something. Are we together? Then Matthew said, he did it so that what Isaiah said might be fulfilled. Are we together? Now we've said two things now. The first thing we said was that Jesus, when teaching, taught the Old Testament books. Are we together? Now, any serious Bible student knows this, that Jesus never taught from the book of Matthew. Are we together? Jesus did not teach from the book of Luke, right? Right? It was what he taught rather that was recorded in Luke. Is it clear? Is it clear? Jesus never taught from the book of John. Jesus never taught from the book of Acts. He never taught from the four Gospels, because the four Gospels were not written at the time when Jesus was teaching. So where could Jesus have taught from? You will hear Jesus teaching and he mentions Solomon. Matthew 6. How that Solomon was not even as clothed as these flowers. Are we together? He begins to talk about Elijah. He talks about Elisha. Talks about the widow of Zarephath. How that there were many, prophets in Jerusalem, but it was only unto Elisha that the Naaman was sent. So when Jesus is teaching, to know his source, you need to find out the characters he mentioned. The characters that Jesus mentions will show you his teaching. Is it clear? So if Jesus is teaching and he mentions teaching in Matthew 19, in John chapter 5, and he mentions Moses, those are characters in the Old Testament. Jesus himself responded to people when he said he was the son of Abraham. Is it clear? So that means Jesus took from the Old Testament books. Are we together? about Samuel. He spoke about Samuel. Jesus is a teacher from the Old Testament. That is one. Now, the second thing to note tonight was that when Matthew was going to talk about Jesus, he kept pointing us to the what? The Old Testament books. And kept on saying that a portion or a prophecy or a saying in the Old Testament books must be what? Fulfilled. Is it clear? That shows you that Jesus didn't only teach from the Old Testament. It means that life was also a fulfillment of the Old Testament. Is it clear? If he comes to do something, and then Matthew is writing about him, and Matthew said he does this so that something in the Old Testament can be fulfilled. That means his life was a fulfillment of the Old Testament. If that is clear, can you just wave your hand briefly? Thank you. So, his life, what do I mean by that? Life, we see his preaching ministry. His preaching ministry. In fact, the moment he showed up at the Sea of Galilee, Matthew, in chapter 4, verse 15, said, that preaching ministry was according to Isaiah's prophecy. So, the preaching ministry of Jesus, don't forget, went into the period when Jesus healed the sick. Matthew chapter 8. According to Isaiah, it takes away. Are we together? So, the teaching ministry, the teaching ministry of Jesus, then the healing ministry of Jesus. Are we together? Now, there are many others, but I'll focus on that too now. The teaching ministry of Jesus, then the healing or the miracle ministry of Jesus was a fulfillment of what? Of the Old Testament. Are we together, church? The healing ministry of Jesus was a fulfillment. Now, let me show you one more. One more. Look at chapter 27. Quickly. 27. Are you with me tonight? Are you with me tonight? Chapter 27, verse what? Look at verse 33. If you are there, say amen. Amen. So look at that. And when Jesus were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is of a skull, they gave him vinegar, is a vinegar, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Now look at 35. Can we take 35 together once ago? And they crucified him, parted his garment, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my what? Garment. And upon my vesture did they cast what? Lord. Now this was from Psalms. Are we together? Are we together? Now look at this. That shows you that the experiences of Jesus, that's the third one. The first one was his teaching ministry. Was the fulfillment of what? The Old Testament. The second one was what? His miracle ministry. His miracle ministry. His healing ministry. How he healed the sick and set the captives free was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. The fourth category are even the what? The experiences. Now notice the experiences Jesus spoke about. That the experiences we are talking about was not how he had a good time. Are we together? The experiences that Matthew spoke about was not how he had a nice time. He had a good time. Are we together? So he was fulfilling the scriptures because he went to party. He enjoyed his life. He had money. He had a he had all goody things of life. No. How did Jesus fulfill the scriptures? Glory to God. I said glory to God. Because some people think that to fulfill the scriptures means to live a life of luxury. So when a Christian is not yet living a life of luxury, they feel God is against you. No, it's not true. Are we together? Jesus scriptures, look at this, in that they parted his garments and crucified him. So his sufferings. Now, let me help a little bit. It means what other people did to him was also him fulfilling scriptures. We see that clearly tomorrow morning. Is it clear? His experiences, what people did to him, how they slandered him, how they crucified him, how they nailed him to the cross, at him, was also a fulfillment of the scriptures. So much that by verse 46, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Are we together? Are we together? He says, "Why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me?" And then, if you look at the Luke's account, just roughly after this, are we there? Are we there? Jesus said, "It is what? It is fulfilled." Now, I know in your KJV, you have, "It is finished." Are we together? But no, 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 that's not what he meant. "Finished" there means it is fulfilled. Are we together? Because if he said it is fulfilled, amen, why then does he tell his disciples to tarry at Jerusalem afterwards? Jesus says, "It is finished," yet he gives his disciples instructions. That means it's not finished. Is it clear? Is it clear? So it is finished in that text. If you look at it very well, the Greek word there means it is fulfilled. Jesus was referring to a part of prophecy that described his crucifixion. That at this point, this is fulfilled. Is it clear, church? So he wasn't saying it is finished. That is, all I need to do is finished. Because after the crucifixion, he then rises from the dead and continues his work. Is it clear? A major it after he rose from the dead was to sit at the right hand of God. So he still had activities after the cross. He couldn't have said it is finished. Are we together? But rather, he meant it is fulfilled. So we see that the experiences of Jesus, the miracle ministry of Jesus, the teaching ministry of Jesus were fulfillment, glory to God, of the Old Testament books. We call it the scriptures. Now, when we say scriptures, scriptures refers to specific writings. Specific writings. Are we together? So Matthew is talking about Jesus, and he says, pay attention to what is written. Now, quickly, let's look at Matthew again. In Matthew chapter 1, you know our text is Matthew 28, right? Good. In Matthew chapter 1, quickly. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 1. In verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Look at verse 2. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Then it says, Judas begat Phares, and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares Esrom. Esrom begat Aram. Now, look at, well, what's this genealogy? You know, sometimes when you are reading the Bible, you don't really pay attention to this part. You just keep it. Are we together? But look at something in verse 6. Jesse begat David, David king of Israel. And David begat Solomon, that was the wife of Urias. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, Rehoboam begat Abia, Abia Asa. If you read on into verse 15, and Eliud begat Eleazar, Eleazar begat Matthan, Matthan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born who? Jesus, who is the Christ. So Matthew was coming to Jesus. You get that? You get that? He opens his text and he shows us, hey, I want to talk about Jesus. But look at what he does again. He goes into the Old Testament books. Then he began to mention characters in the Old Testament. Solomon. Are we together? David. But I want you to pay attention to verse 1. He says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of what? Abraham. Matthew, but why? He gives genealogy. And in the genealogy of Jesus, Matthew points to Abraham. He points to David. Are we together? Definitely Isaac and Jacob. Because he mentioned the son of David, he mentions Solomon, he mentions Rehoboam. Are we together? In other words, look at what Matthew is saying. Matthew is saying, to understand what I'm about to disclose to you concerning Jesus, you must know and understand concerning Abraham too. He says, I cannot tell you about this Jesus if you don't know about Abraham. He wants to talk about Jesus, then he takes us to Abraham. He takes us to David. In other words, this Jesus, are we together? Now notice what he calls Jesus. He uses a description, a word we are going to explore tomorrow. He says, the son of David. Then he says, the son of Abraham. Are we together? Now look at me. You all know that Abraham, are we together? Are we together? You all know that David, when we say Abraham's son, David's son, he said to look at someday, and he said, this son is Abraham's son. You all know that it ought to be that maybe Abraham met with a woman, right? Right? And brought forth the child, isn't it? Right? Or maybe if someone is the son of Abraham and we are talking genealogy, then you ought to know what it meant is that by man meeting woman, men meeting woman, across generation, they brought forth this one. Isn't it? Isn't it? But we know Joseph never met Mary to bring forth Jesus. So why call Jesus the son of Abraham? Why call Jesus the son of David? That means for Jesus, son of Abraham, or the son of David, there is an understanding in the scriptures that explains it. Are we together? Which you must not assume. You mustn't assume. Physically, bunk that truth. Are we together? If we're just to check it biologically, we can debunk it. Amen. Joseph did not have hands. Jesus, other than to hang around the woman, are we together? And take care of what's in her womb. Amen. So if we look at that biologically, we could debunk that. But the scriptures, inspired of God, scriptures which are authoritative enough, said, that means there's an understanding that the scripture is pushing forth to you, that if you don't grasp, there will be controversies. Are we together? You know, today there's still controversy in the world about who Jesus is. Are we together? Are we together? We're going to see it in this conference. Glory to God forevermore. So look at Matthew. I want to tell you about Jesus. But hey, have you heard about Abraham? I want to tell you about Jesus. But hey guys, please go and read about who? About David. Matthew is saying that. He calls Jesus the son of Abraham. He calls Jesus the son of David. In other words, look at this. There is something that Jesus continues from Abraham. There's something about Abraham. There's something about Isaac, Jacob, that lineage. There's something from David that Jesus continues. Is it clear? That is why he wants to talk about Jesus. Takes us to, he mentions Abraham. It means that there is a mission that God has begun from these two people. Now, which one preceded who? Was it David before Abraham or Abraham before David? Bible students, was it Abraham before David or David before Abraham? Okay, so it was Abraham son of David or David was son of Abraham? Was Abraham son of David or David was son of Abraham? So we have Abraham, right? Then we have David in Genesis. Then we have David where? In Samuel. Are we together? Are we together? You have 1 Samuel. Are we together? And 2 Samuel. You have David. That shows us that there is a mission. There is a work. There is an assignment which God has begun from Abraham. And he continued with who? David. Which Jesus now what? Fulfills. Praise God. Are you with me? Jesus continues. Now, someone say, which one? Is it that Jesus continues it? Or Jesus what? Fulfills it. In Bible language, fulfill and continue are synonymous terms. Are we together? We're going to see it tomorrow. That fulfill and continue are actually synonymous terms, terminologies in the scriptures. 28, which we read. You know, he says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth, right? Then he says, go ye therefore. Are we together? Now, he says, all authority is given to me. Now, if authority is given to you, who will get busy? Oh. I give you authority. Who do I expect to get active? Authority is meant for activities. Is it clear? So if he says all authority is given to me, that means Jesus is saying, I have an assignment. Are we together? Authority is a light to carry out activities. That is why he now said to his disciples, go and make disciples. Then he says, no, I am with you. That means we are doing it together. That means the resurrection of Jesus was not to make Jesus to go and relax, was to make him to start a work. Are you with me? So the resurrection is a beginning. Not what? An end. Are you with me? Are you with me? The resurrection of Jesus is actually a beginning of something. It's a beginning of something, not an end. It's not something Jesus, Jesus has risen from the dead. Then he comes to his disciples, and then let's say he's wiping his sweat. He says, I've tried though. And then he calls Matthew. And then he calls Peter. He says, all of you, start praising God for my life. Are we together? He said, I went to hell. Hell is real, oh, Peter, oh God. I pray for you on the last day. Peter said, amen. You know, there's this song we sing. We sing in Yoruba. A song that says, it says, the kingdom of God, you know, is the reward for the believer. We sing that song in Yoruba. It says like, Ijaba Oru Lereoni. Are we together? How many of you know that song? We have sung lies. Are we together? Songs actually affect us more than anything else. We've sung lies. You see, the kingdom of God is a commencement of something. When the kingdom of God shows up, is to show you that a process, a work has just started. You even hear some people say things like, oh, heaven at last. No, that is not in the Bible. Sometimes we pray, don't say, oh, you know, someone is trying to bless you. Now, when they say that to you, say amen. Don't say, I know the word. Just say amen. Is it clear? Someone is trying to pray for you. So the Bible says, oh, you will not lack any good in your life. He said, amen. He said, oh, as you are a student of university, I pray for you. That you, as you are reading, you will be knowing it. You know, he said, amen. Are we together? Then what else? So they say many prayers. They now get to a point in the prayer, now say, and the greatest of it all is that when we have gone on our journey on earth, may we not miss the kingdom of God. Amen. I say amen. But look, there is no such prayer in the Bible. So we say, oh, the kingdom of God is the destination of the believer. No. Oh, I'm praying for you. All our life, holiness, all our holy life is so that we will make heaven at last. No. God's design is not that you will make heaven at last. You started from heaven. Is it clear? You started from there. The moment you get born again, you are already seated at the right hand of God. It is no more a reward. So many times, we have taught things, and we have been taught things, and we have sung songs that have made it look like we are going to arrive, or we have arrived. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? But look at this. Bible teaches it is that the resurrection of Jesus, glory to God, is actually a starting point of something. It's a starting point of something. Amen. It's a starting point of a mission. He says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore. And that was upon his resurrection. So Matthew 28 is Matthew closing his letter or his account. Matthew is closing his account on the starting point of a mission. Are we together? So he says, all authority is given to me. He says, go ye therefore and make disciples. That is a mission. Don't forget we said, when Matthew said in Matthew 1, this Jesus, then he says, Abraham. We said, mission that continues from where? Abraham unto David or Jesus. There is a work, an assignment that we can trace in scripture to Abraham. And then we will find it continue in David. And then we'll find it continue with who? With Jesus. It shows you something that Matthew 28 and Matthew 1 are linked. Are we together? Matthew 1, a mission from Abraham, David, with Jesus continues. Matthew 28, he says, authority is given unto me, so let's go. So Matthew 1 and Matthew 28 are what? They are linked together. That means Matthew 2 to Matthew 27 are also linked. Are we together? It shows you and I that Matthew connects the first with the Old Testament books, particularly the book of Genesis. Glory to God. So Matthew is saying, I want to talk about Jesus. And it goes into the Old Testament books. Matthew is saying, I want to talk about Jesus. And it goes to Isaiah. It goes to Samuel to talk about David. He goes to Psalms to read the words of David. He goes to Hosea. Matthew is saying, I want to talk about Jesus, and he goes to the prophets. Why does Matthew do this? He has information about Jesus, and he says, hey, have you read about Abraham? In other words, if you didn't read about Abraham, you cannot understand what they're about to say about who? Jesus. Matthew is saying, if you don't read about Jesus, if you've not read about David, if you do not read about David and understand God's dealings with David, if you do not read and understand what is written about David, you will not know this Jesus. That is what Matthew is saying. Matthew is saying, if you do not know about Abraham, you will not understand this Jesus. There are things in his miracle ministry, there are things in his teaching ministry, there are things in his experiences that will not make sense to you, since Abraham does not yet make sense to you. Are we together, church? The four Gospels, therefore, must not be read until I have read the what? The Old Testament books. Is it clear? I said, is it clear? So why does Matthew do this? I say that and I'll close. Look at Jesus too. In Luke's Gospel chapter 24. Luke 24. Look at Jesus. In Luke 24 and then in verse 25. Luke 24 verse 25. He says, "O fools, and slew of heart to believe all that the prophet have what? Spoken." Can we take 26 together? "Of no Christ who have suffered these things and to enter into his glory." Can we take 27? "And beginning at what? And wait." When it says all the prophets, will it include? Will it include? Now, let me get your response again. Did Jesus go to David to speak to him, or he read what was written about David? So would he have read the book of Psalms? Look at verse 44. Verse 44. Can we take it together? Verse 44. Once you go. "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophet, and in thee." Did you see that? Back to 25. We'll go to 44 tomorrow. Are we together? Back to 25. Look at 25 now. "He says, O fools, and slew of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken." So, will he include Jeremiah? Let me have an answer. Will he include Jeremiah?
Yes, sir.
Will it include Isaiah?
Yes, sir.
Will it include David?
Yes, sir.
Solomon?
Yes, sir.
Who else? Ezekiel?
Yes, sir.
Joel?
Yes, sir.
Habakkuk?
Yes, sir.
Who else? Malachi?
Yes, sir.
Which other prophets do we have? Right? But he mentioned Moses. Also observe that he separated Moses distinctly. We'll see why tomorrow. Is it clear? But look at what he says in 25. He says, "O fools and slow of heart to believe, all prophets, glory to God, have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Look at 26. "Ought not Christ and to enter into his glory?" I'll take it again. "Ought not Christ to suffer, enter into his glory?" From where? 25. "All that the prophet has spoken." So, did Jesus do the same thing Matthew is doing? Jesus is talking about the Christ. Look at 27, everyone. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expanded unto them in all the scriptures these things concerning who? Himself." Now, who is Jesus? Is he Abraham? Is he Abraham? So look at this. In the scriptures, which is Moses and all the prophets, will you see the name Jesus written there? Will you see the name Jesus written there? You won't see the name Jesus written there. You won't see anybody talking about a Jesus there. But he goes into those materials and he expounded. We'll look at that word tomorrow. He expounded in all of the scriptures the things concerning what? Who? Him. So he must have spoken from Abraham things concerning him. He must have read from David and taught the things concerning what? Him. He must have read from Isaiah. He must have read through, he says, all the prophets. How did he do that? He went into all the prophets, the Old Testament books. We can't see Jesus here. We can't read Jesus here. But he goes into materials and he teaches the things concerning himself. So I need to understand Abraham because Christ is there. Are we together? I need to understand the Exodus, the deliverance of the children of Abraham, because there's something about Christ there. Are we together? I need to go into the Old Testament. Again, that Matthew was doing. He goes into the Old Testament books and he teaches concerning himself. Now, we were not taught the details of what he said, but we were told the summary, the things concerning himself. What about him? The sufferings and the glory. Well, we also told the source. The source is the scriptures. So we're told the source. We're also told the summary. Are we together? By the time you look at verse 15 of the same Matthew, Luke 24, we'll see that tomorrow. Into verse 25, we will observe that Jesus was teaching about his resurrection. He was explaining about his resurrection to Cleopas and his friend, which was believed to be his wife. We're together. So his resurrection was the summary. The scriptures was the source. He taught his resurrection from the Old Testament. Are we together? Now again, why does Jesus do this? Why? Why do they take this approach? The same with Paul the Apostle. When Paul taught in the book of Acts, Paul definitely was not teaching from the four Gospels. Paul was not teaching from the book of Acts. They were all teaching from the Old Testament. And they were teaching about Jesus. Why did they do that? We together. I'll close on this note tonight. Because the scriptures, as you see, are often led. Now, don't lose this. Our meeting is built on this. The scriptures are oftentimes built. And therefore, must be read as conversations. Are you there? Read as what? Conversations. The scriptures. The scriptures refers to Genesis to Malachi. They must be read, or they are read. They are read as a what? Conversation. What does that mean to me? It means as a Bible writer. Now don't miss this. As a Bible reader, rather, not writer. As a Bible reader, I must learn to find out what brings about a statement when I'm reading the Bible. Is it clear? Is it clear? I'll talk about this more tomorrow. In my reading of the scriptures, look at me, everyone. I am actually reading fast. Are you here? Don't miss this. The scriptures refers to Genesis, right? Across what? Malachi. Anytime I open the scriptures to read, I'm reading what? Answers. Answers to what? The scriptures are to be read in a conversational manner. Amen. I am reading answers to questions. So that means in the Old Testament books, there are questions. Answers. There are what? Questions. There are also what? Answers. There are what? Questions. There are also what? Answers. Answers to those questions. As I read from Genesis to what? Malachi. Now look at this. The four Gospels, the book of Acts and the epistles are also like that. But we'll focus on the Old Testament books. As I read through the Old Testament books, I am reading answers to questions. Now that means that the questions are also there, but the questions might not be as amplified as the answers. Is it clear? So a Bible reader must learn to find out what is the question that this answer is what? Addressing. Are you with me? Are you with me? Look at this. If I don't read the Bible this way, I will end up using the wrong answers for the wrong what? Questions. The Bible answers questions. But if I don't read it in that conversational mindset, if I don't read the Bible, a conversation, or in a conversation as it is, answers for the what? The wrong questions. Many people have taught that the Bible actually answers questions about commerce and getting rich. So they are disappointed. Is it clear? They are disappointed. Because we have answers or the wrong questions. Are we together? Are we together? The Bible does not answer all the questions in heaven and on earth. But the Bible provides answers to certain questions. The questions that the Bible provides answers to are the deepest questions of humanity. Questions like, why am I on the earth? Questions like, who is the woman? Who is the man? Are we together? So you find someone who had been brought up by the parents just suddenly feels like, I don't want to be a man again. Then they go and transgender. Is that what you call it? Because for that fellow, he does not know why he came forth as a man. The Bible answers that. The Bible answers questions on eternity. The Bible answers questions on how can a man be saved. The troubling dilemma that faces the world are the questions that the Bible provides what? Answers. Like I told you, the Bible might not tell you how God created man, but it tells you why. Is it clear? Is it clear? The Bible answers questions on the purpose of man, the worship of God. What does God want me to live my life for? The Bible answers those questions. So when I open, I must bear in mind what I am reading. Are we together? What? Answers. To what? To questions. Now, where are the questions? Critical is to note that the questions are within the scriptures. The questions are not the questions you ask today, even though the question you ask today also have answers. Are we together? The questions that the scriptures answers are questions raised within the scriptures. So what does a Bible reader today need to do? I need to go into the books of the Bible and find out the questions in it. Are we together? And look at the questions I have also today. And then find out where they are answered. Those answers are whose answers? My answers today. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? We're going somewhere. So in the scriptures, I am reading what? I'm reading conversations. Conversations. Questions and answers. But actually answers to questions. Bible passages, as we're going to see in the morning, as from tomorrow morning, are answers to questions. The questions of their day. Glory to God. So if I'm not careful, I'm going to use the wrong answers for the wrong questions. I will use a text that does not promise me money. I will say God has promised me what? Money. So I become disappointed. Because God will never do what he has not promised. But he will do everything that he has promised. Ezekiel Church. Ezekiel Church. Part of the things I must get right are or is of God. We must get it right in this conference. So our eyes will be set to be set on. Amen. In Psalm 78, as I close, Psalm 78, glory to God forevermore. I said, glory to God forevermore. Psalm 78, everyone, I close here. He says in verse 1, give ear, all my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a what? Parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. We'll look at this tomorrow morning. It is which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Now, if you read our in the Old Testament books, he's talking about men like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Are we together? Are we together? Good. Our fathers refers to the Jewish heritage, not their biological dad. Amen. Look this. I will open my mouth in a parable. Now the word parable there is the word chidah in the Hebrew. Look at some of those words tomorrow. Chidah. C-H-I-Y-D-A-H. Chidah. He says, I will utter dark sayings. Are we together? Dark sayings. Amen. Now, look at this. Now, the word dark saying is rather not the word parable. The word dark saying is the word shida. But look at this. The word parable, amen, refers to illustrations. Illustrations. The writer of Psalm is saying, I will open my mouth, I will bring forth illustrations. He says, I will utter dark sayings. Shida. Now, I take up the word dark things. Amen. That word dark thing, the word shida, means, you know, is a New Testament word for mysteries. It's a word that was standing there, mysteries in the New Testament. That is the mystery of God or the mystery of the church. Mysteries. That word mystery in the Greek, mysterion. And the word shida in the Hebrew, they are same words. Is it clear? Now, it's a word that implies perplexing questions. Shida means what requires explanation. Like I told someone, I said mystery is different from mysterious. When we say something is mysterious, it means it can't be known. But when we say something is a mystery, it means it's a code. Are we together? It's waiting to be what? Decoded. For example, you observe some people in some trade, they have the way they say some things, like terminology in some trades. If you are not in that trade, you will not know what they are saying. For example, it's like you go to a doctor, and a doctor writes a prescription for you. You know you can't read it. The clearer it is to you, the less professional the doctor is. And then, well, by the time you get to the pharmacist, and then he just says, Septrin. He even says, two doses. All the doses written there. How? This is just like shorthand. So that's a mystery. The people around, are we together, are the ones that can decode it. You see, that's what dark says. We'll look at that tomorrow morning, don't worry. That's what dark says. So when he says, I will open my mystery, he says, in a parable, I will utter dark sayings of old. It means what should, what requires explanation. I check the word dark sayings, chida, it means perplexing inquiries. which requires answers. Glory to God. Perplexing what? Questions. That means as we read the Old Testament, there are perplexing questions which requires what? And in the Old Testament book, there are also what? Answers there to those questions. Are you with me? Are you? Look at this. Primarily, or it is important, note that those perplexing questions are not in the mouth of God. Those dark sayings are not in the mouth of God. These perplexing questions, are we together? These deep yearnings of the heart that requires explanation, they are in the hearts of those who do not believe. These questions are found in the hearts of those who do not yet believe the plan of God, the word of God. Or let's better put, they are found in the hearts of those who do not yet understand God's counsel. What does that mean to me? It means in the reading of the Old Testament, are we together? I will see deep yearnings in the heart of man. Then I will see God responding to them. But the yearnings will also be done in what? In a parable form. Through the Old Testament books. Are we together? Are we together? They are not found in the mouth of God. In the mouth of those who do not understand God's counsel. These questions are found in the conduct of those who do not yet understand God's counsel. Or those who do not yet follow God. Or those who do not yet believe. These perplexing questions are found in the lifestyle of miracles. In the lifestyle of men who do not yet believe the gospel. Are we together, church? That means as I'm reading through the Old Testament books, I will read words coming from the heart of those who do not follow the plan of God or understand it or yet believe God. I will read their conduct. I will read their lifestyle. The writer of the Bible is saying that these lifestyles, this conduct that is emanating from the life of unbelievers is a question. And the scripture, is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? The scriptures answer it. Men who do not yet believe or understand the mind of God, their deep-seated inquiries in their heart, it will be found in their words. It will be found in their conduct with God. What is the Bible writer telling me, church? What is the Bible writer telling me? The Bible writer is saying, glory to God, when you see someone who lives his life waywardly, that is a question. You are seeing an inquiry in his heart, in a manner of lifestyle. He needs an answer. Are we together? And the answer is found where? In the word of God. When you see a woman selling her body for money, believes to sleep around to have upkeep, you are seeing a what? A deep-seated question in the heart. It's a question of identity. He does not know who he is. She does not know who she is. Man does not know what man is. Part of this question is what we see in Psalms chapter 8.
A psalm of David in Psalm chapter 8. Look at what it says. He says in verse 1. He says, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thy enemies. Thou might have still the enemy and the avenger. He says in 3, when I consider the heavens, the work of the hands, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. Verse 4, what is man?
Hallelujah.
What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that you visited him, you make him a little lower than the angels and crown him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands and has put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea. He says, and what passeth through the paths? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. This is a conversation that answers the question, what is man? That means when I read Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, I'm actually reading a conversation. That statement, let us make man in our image, let him have dominion, is an answer to a question in the heart of Moses' audience. Is it clear? And hear me clearly, humanity is asking questions today. That the lack of understanding of the mind of God is responsible for the waywardness and the chaos that we see in society. But God has the answer. And this camp meeting is meant to provide God's answer. Hallelujah. To provide answers to these perplexing questions. So that when Jesus comes, he says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples. You will answer questions. Hallelujah. It means you will provide identity to those who have lost it. By the power of the Holy Ghost. It means you will show people that healing is God's answer to sicknesses. It means you are going to show men and women around you that they are not objects of a mistake. Why man is answering? Why has God created humanity? Where has God put me on the earth? Has God put me on the earth as just one of his creatures to wander away on the earth? Then we'll provide answers that there's a plan. That there's a mission. While churches are lost in their identity and are becoming wayward, and ministries feel like, oh, we have to do things for people in order to get them to look upon God. No. We see God's answer within the scriptures. Those answers will bet salvation. Are we together? Are we together? You see, he says, who is this man speaking about? Is he talking about himself or another man? The man was trying to answer the question of salvation. As another instance, the jailer in Acts 16, he says, what must I do to be what? To be saved. When you see the woman, the well, you know her life was full of questions. Are we together? He says, you Jews believe that it's upon this mountain that we was worshipped. Then Jesus answered her from the scriptures. That the time is coming and is now here when men will no longer worship God at a geographic location, but they will worship God in spirit and in word and in truth. That means where you are, God is there. Are we together? So the resurrection of Jesus was also an answer in the scriptures. The crucifixion, the resurrection, the miracles, the teaching, the explanations, the life, the experiences of Jesus were all fulfillments of the scriptures. Glory to God forevermore. I pray for you that in this conference our eyes will be open. We receive that in this camp meeting we will see as we ought to see by the teaching of God's word, which will be much, but that the teachings will fulfill their purposes. We ask, and I speak tonight, that tomorrow morning, through afternoon, through Saturday, through Sunday, you will have every form of question in your heart answered. To the end that you are able to provide answers
to men around you. We are able to get God's work done. The Lord working with us, providing answer to detailed questions, perplexing questions of our world. I pray for you that as a result of this conference, your spiritual growth will be answers. Your prayer life will provide answers. Your study life will provide answers. Your healing ministry will provide answers. Your teaching meetings will provide answers. Our teaching ministry will provide answers. Our services will provide answers. Sound meetings will provide answers. Your experiences will be answers. I pray for you that through your life, there will be no confusion. There will rather be clarity by the power of the Holy Ghost. Are we ready for this conference? By the word and by the Spirit of God. By the word and by the Spirit of God, we will see that which God has begun in Abraham, continue in his son David, continue in his son Jesus. And we are found in the same fellowship of assignment. Our eyes to be open. The things that needs to be said will be said. And all that needs to be heard will be heard. Hallelujah.